And the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, it seems once upon a time that there was a man in church who fell asleep. Imagine such a thing, falling asleep in church. And the pastor happened to notice that this man fell asleep, and he thought, boy, I'm going to get him. Us pastors think that a lot. You'd be surprised. But he very quietly says to the congregation, everybody who wants to go to heaven, please rise. And everybody in the congregation stood up, except for the man who was sleeping. He said, okay, go ahead and sit down now. And now, everybody who wants to go to hell, rise! And he said it loud enough that he woke up the man who was asleep, and he just jumped out of his chair. And he looked around and he saw everybody else in the congregation was just sitting there looking at him. And he calls up to the pastor, Pastor, I don't know what we're voting on, but it looks like you and me are the only ones in favor of it. Anybody here ever fall asleep in church? It's okay, put those hands up. No judgment. No judgment. Robin, are you writing the names down? Okay. I'm going to say it's okay to fall asleep in church sometimes. There was a church we used to go to. There was one man who every Sunday, about halfway through the Lord's Prayer, he'd fall asleep, and then he'd wake up right at the end of the sermon. Every week without fail. It happens. I mean, I've heard some people say, well, it's okay to fall asleep in church because Sunday is a day of rest. We should be resting. But I do understand falling asleep in church sometimes. It's sometimes, I know sometimes folks are on medication. Medication can make us drowsy. I know sometimes, well, it's right after lunch. We have this unusual circumstance of having church right after lunch, and I can get pretty tired after lunch. And Sunday is a good day for a nap. I know it was, you know, usually when we get home, Robin will curl up on the couch and fall asleep. And if I was the kind of person who could nap soundly without being grumpy after a nap, I would probably nap right after church myself. I wanted to talk in particular today. There's a story in the book of Acts. As we're talking about the life and adventures of Paul, there's a story that involves Paul and a man who falls asleep in church. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then they went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. So here we have this young man who falls asleep in church. Not only does he fall asleep in church, he falls out the window three stories to his death. The moral of the story is don't fall asleep in church because you might fall out the window and die. Amen. I'm just kidding. That's not the end. You're not going to get off that easy. And I know sometimes in churches, and I don't want to do this, sometimes in churches and sometimes in other situations, people falling asleep at inopportune moments get made fun of sometimes. It's the truth. I remember once when I was in Indian Guides as a kid, we were on a camping trip someplace, and we were staying in a cabin, and this one little boy fell asleep sitting up. And his mouth was open. And we tossed popcorn into his mouth. And the next morning, he was still asleep, sitting in the chair with popcorn in his mouth. And I had a friend in college once who he didn't study. His first semester, he took a freshman physics course. He didn't study the entire year. And it came time for the final exam. So he stayed up all night, the night before, cramming, as one does in college. And the next day he went to take his exam. He sat down in the lecture hall. There were probably 600 students in the lecture hall. He had his exam in front of him. And I remember him telling me the next thing he knew, he was sitting alone in a dark room. He had nothing in front of him. Apparently, he fell asleep before he could answer the first question, and they left him there. Now, this poor fellow in our story, his name is Eutychus. His name is Eutychus. There are many stories in Scripture about things happening to people, bad things happening to people, strange things happening to people, and we don't know what their names are. But this guy's name is Eutychus. And someday when we're all in heaven, we can ask, hey, where's Eutychus? You know, the guy that fell asleep in church and fell out the window. And we can all have a good laugh. It was important enough, I guess, to mention this guy's name. And he fell asleep. Well, to be fair, I don't know when Paul started preaching, but Eutychus fell out the window at midnight. I've heard some long-winded preachers before. I mean, Luke even goes as far as to say that Paul was going on and on and on as he was preaching. So Eutychus fell asleep. I've even seen in some commentaries ask the question, well, Eutychus was the one that fell out the window. How many other people were awake when this happened? It even goes on to say that Paul continued to preach until the sun came up. That's a long-winded preacher. That's a long-winded preacher. Fortunately, though, we know it all came out well. Even though Eutychus died, the Lord rose him up again. He can do that. He can do that. The question for us, though, today is what happens to us when we fall asleep in church? Like I say, we fall out the window. Well, good thing we're underground, right? Good thing the chapel here is underground. We don't have so far to fall. And if you open these windows, you'll just find a light bulb. Not too far to fall. It's hard for us sometimes, not just really to stay awake in church. It's pretty warm in here today. I'm tired. I'll admit it. I could probably doze off if I tried. But what about us in our spiritual lives? I mean, we're looking at the things Paul's doing and the things Paul's experiencing and trying to relate them to us in our ministries. And hopefully we're getting out there and hopefully we're talking to people and hopefully we're sharing the gospel with people. I mean, who doesn't want a revival? Revival's a wonderful thing. We all want a revival. We want there to be good, strong Christian people around us all the time. We want our community to be filled with good, strong Christian people, people we can trust, people we can look up to, people we can respect, good, strong Christian people. But before we can experience this revival, we Christians need to wake up. We need to wake up ourselves sometimes. We need to be paying attention to what's going on. I fell asleep in class once myself. When I was in college, it was my very first semester. It wasn't the very first class, fortunately, but it was the first day of a class. The class was History of the Reformation, which doesn't sound terribly exciting. There were probably 40 people in the class, and I was sitting in the front row because the professor was my academic advisor, and I wanted to make a good impression, and I fell asleep. Not only did I fall asleep, I had a spiral-bound notebook in front of me, and I went face down into the spiral-bound notebook and cut my head on the spiral. That woke me up, and I did not fall asleep again in that lecture, but the professor stared at me the entire time he was lecturing for the rest of the class. As I say, I had cut my head, and I had blood trickling down my forehead, which I didn't know about until after class. It can be dangerous for us sometimes to fall asleep because we miss things. I think God's grace and mercy is the only way we can possibly survive falling asleep at the wheel of a car. And we hear stories of that kind of thing happening all the time. I've done that myself as well. Woke up driving 80 miles an hour on the shoulder. It's terrifying, terrifying. My friend Brian once played it smart. He was out driving. He was headed home to Columbus from here in Pittsburgh and got really tired, so he decided to pull over in a truck stop. And he parked his car and just knew that he could set a little internal alarm clock, and he fell asleep. Apparently, though, he forgot that he had set this internal alarm clock. And he woke up, and trucks had parked on either side of where he was parked. He forgot that he had parked the car. All he was aware of was that he woke up, and there were trucks. He grabbed the steering wheel and started to scream until he realized that his car was not moving. It's fortunate that he took that chance to that break, but it can be terrifying to fall asleep at the wrong time because there are things you're going to miss. important things. There can be danger to come with falling asleep. There are things, it can be more than just embarrassment. It can be more than a simple embarrassment. Paul also tells us in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 9, don't get tired of doing what is good. That's something else we can sometimes have a problem with, isn't it? Getting tired of doing things that are good. Getting tired of the good works because maybe nobody's saying thank you. But is that why we're really doing it? Is that why we're really doing it? I understand that sometimes it's okay to take a break. That can be a good thing. A little break now and then can rejuvenate us. I know in the prison ministry, Robin and I are working through, you have this opportunity once or twice a year to be involved in these retreats with Kairos Outside where Robin's working. They do it once a year. And I'm doing Kairos Inside. We're actually starting in a second prison in the area. So I've really got an opportunity to do this four times a year now. Can you imagine how tired I would be doing it four times a year? In fact, the Kairos Prison Ministries, the parent organization, recommends that we take a break every fourth time. It's four, right? Three on and then you take one off. Because people will burn out. People will get tired. It's a good thing to do. Unfortunately, in Pennsylvania, it's hard sometimes for us to get that break. There's one fellow who's been on every single one of the weekends since it started almost 20 years ago. He missed one, and the only reason he missed it was because his wife wanted to go on a cruise. He tried to reschedule the cruise, but she didn't want to reschedule. But he got that break. The man's got a huge heart. He's got a huge heart for the ministry, but he needed a break. Do not get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessings at the appropriate time. It's easy for us to get discouraged, isn't it? It's easy for us to want to give up. It's easy for us to want to go lay down someplace and take a nap. But we are called to persevere. We are called to be strong. We are called to stay awake and alert so that we don't miss anything. It's important for us as missionaries out in the field, whichever field it is that we're out in, to be awake and alert. And yeah, sometimes that requires a break. It does. We don't want to wear ourselves out, but we don't want to rest too much. We don't want to rest too long. And of course, we don't want to rest at the wrong time. As we are trying to wake up the world, it's important for us to stay awake as well. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share-alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is a good and final word, and we put that at the end so we don't miss what came in front of it. Who's ready for a nap? I know the church we attend in the morning, Pastor Tom preaches, and I don't know that he can go to midnight and then continue to morning, you think? Okay. Well, on a typical Sunday morning, he'll preach for about 40 minutes minimum. And I remember one time I was filling in for him when he was on vacation, and he took me aside right before he was leaving. He said, just want you to remember this. If you can't get your point across in 10 minutes, it's not worth making. And I said to him, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, why do you preach so long? He said, I have a lot of points to make. And yeah, we have a lot to say from the pulpit. We do. I really don't think I could go on to midnight, and I'm not going to try. Hooray! But we do. I can imagine Paul had a lot to say. He was getting ready to leave this church that he had just planted, and he had not been there for long. He had a lot to say. And when a preacher has a lot to say, I think the congregation has a lot to hear. And sometimes we get tired. I understand that. Sometimes we fall asleep. I've done it myself in church. I don't think Tom usually listens to these, so nobody tell him. But in life, we need to stay awake. We need to be alert. We need to pay attention to the things that are going on around us. We need to be, not only for us to be safe, but for us to take advantage of the opportunities that are before us. One of the worst things we can miss is an opportunity to bring Christ's love. I missed one a couple years ago that I'm still kicking myself for. Again, in the Kairos Ministries, one of the things we do is we write letters to the prisoners who are going to be going on our weekend. We write these letters of encouragement. And we had to write 24 letters because there were 24 men going on this weekend. They have to be handwritten letters, 24 letters. I got done writing my 24 letters, and I was sitting there just happy with the fact that I was finished. And God very clearly said to me, now write one in Spanish. And that's ridiculous. I don't know Spanish, first of all. I'm not going to write a letter in Spanish. It turned out that there was a gentleman on the weekend on the retreat whose English was very poor. It would have done him well to have received a letter written in Spanish. It would have done me well to have listened to God and not dozed off and fallen out the window. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Wake up and be blessed. Amen.